subscription rate. If you really want to do something about Fox News, and I've advocated this for years, a la carte cable, where you pick and choose exactly what stations you get, is a far more aggressive regulatory solution than the Fairness Doctrine ever could have been.
And one that's so incredibly multi-partisan, I can't believe it. Like, everybody can get behind the idea that I only want to pay for the cable stations I want. It seems very...
WGXC90.7 FM
Ankara.
Yes!
Nailed it!
Woo! That was awesome!
There with your family, and you can meet new friends in the library. When you're at the library, you can read lots of books, and you can find any book. There are lots of Dog Man books, which are my favorite books of all. When I go to the library, I read them, and that's why I like the library.
I'm also on a radio show at the library, and there was also a video making workshop that I did, and I did some animation, and I made a lot of new friends, and I laughed a lot, and it was really fun. My main reason of coming here is because it's books. Of course, it's a library, and I really like the wide selection of books, and they have computers and all sorts of stuff. They also recently did a mural painting thing where they painted the computer room in the back, and I got to be a part of that, and it was really fun. It looks really cool now, and I just really appreciate the library for being here. And if I had to choose between this library and any other one to go to, I would choose this one. I really like the Hudson Area Library, and I hope that it stays running for as long as I live, or maybe even longer, because I know a bunch of people that love to read.
there in Radio Land.
Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Up from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues. The show is a monthly roundup of new music plumbing psych, folk, cosmic Americana, indie, garage, and exploratory titles alongside enough classic gems to hold it all together like glue. You can tune into the show every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Lex of Albany, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
90.7 FM.
Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Raymond Pignon reports for Columbia Green Media that Columbia County Department of Health Director Jack Mabb said this week that hospitalizations related to the coronavirus have reached a low for the year in his county. There were 9 people in area hospital September 29th, with 3 in the intensive care unit and 1 person on a ventilator. But at the same time, total cases were at 129, down slightly from the September 11th high of the summer of 152 cases. Mabb said, and I quote, "I think it's reasonable to say at this point that the higher than expected positive cases we've had over the summer months will continue on into the fall and likely increase with all of us moving inside. I hope this downward trend in hospitalization continues. Maybe this is confirmation of what we've been told by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and others that the variants we're seeing now may be more contagious but less virulent," end quote. Of the current new cases, 47 residents and 13 staff had tested positive from the Grand Rehabilitation and Nursing Barnwell in Valencia. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. The Troy Record reports that Representative Paul Tonko and local environmental groups and advocates recently celebrated at Skodak Island State Park the House passage of his New York, New Jersey Watershed Project Act. The bill would invest $20 million annually to improve water quality and increase public access on the rivers. Tonko, a Democrat, said, and I quote, "Our waterways stand as economic drivers while also reflecting and upholding our rich history. The New York, New Jersey watershed is America's most populated, driving tourism and serving as a community treasure for millions of visitors and residents alike. Despite this, our watershed remains underfunded and without key federal assistance, leaving it in greater danger from pollutants and at increased risk for floods that threaten public health, ecosystems, and industries," end quote. Tonko failed to pass what was previously called the Hudson-Mohawk River Basin Act, but at least got the renamed measure through the House of Representatives this year as part of the National Defense Authorization Act. Jonathan Kramer, president of the Hudson River Foundation, said, and I quote, "This legislation is a key part of funding research and scientifically backed efforts that will make New York's waterways more resilient to climate change," end quote. Tonko faces a rematch with Republican Liz Joy this fall for re-election in the 20th Congressional District. Read the full story in the Troy Record. On social media, September 28th, the town of Cairo announced public hearings about overriding the tax levy limit and changing the cannabis law. On October 3rd, the Greene County Town holds a public hearing at 7 p.m. at the town hall to propose a new local law to override the tax levy limit. Also that night, there will be a public hearing to amend local law number 4 to allow retail cannabis dispensaries in Cairo. Last December, the Cairo board voted 3-2 not to allow cannabis sales or lounges in the town. Outgoing supervisor John Coyne and councilpersons Tim Powers and Mary Jo Cords voted against cannabis sales, and councilperson Stephen Krabowicz and supervisor-elect Jason Watts voted to allow sales. With the new makeup of the board, Coyne and Krabowicz are gone, replaced by Michael Flattery and Deborah Bogans. The board is only considering retail sales and will not vote to overturn their prohibition against cannabis consumption establishments. A regular meeting of the town board follows the public hearings. The town says it will post an agenda for the meeting just a few hours before it begins. Mid-Hudson News reports that State Senator Michelle Hitchie pinned Liberty Medals on three young Greenville brothers who saved the life of a man trapped in a burning car in August. Peter V and Nicholas Lacari, both 14, and their brother Dylan Lacari, 7, got the highest civilian honor that a New York resident can receive from the state Senate for their heroic or humanitarian acts. Hitchie said the three brothers, and I quote, demonstrated the type of courage that most of us would like to think we would exemplify in a moment so dire, but few actually could, end quote. On the night of August 7, 2022, Peter Lacari III and his three sons drove up on a car crash on Route 32 in Greenville. When their dad failed to get a garden hose to reach the burning car, the boys formed a bucket brigade to control the flames until first responders arrived and saved the man's life. Hinchy said, and I quote, the level of selfless bravery and quick-thinking heroism these brothers and their dad displayed was nothing short of exceptional, end quote. Read the full story at Mid-Hudson News. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website, WGXC.org, for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice day.
Climate and democracy in the eye of the storm. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan in our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. The hurricane season and the election season have converged in the United States. The prospect of catastrophic, irreversible climate change and the potential demise of democracy are both very real. The fate of these essential pillars of our society hinge largely on what we all do in the coming weeks and months. The climate catastrophe enveloping the planet requires a truly global solution, one that a majority of the world's population is eager to achieve. But the will of the masses means less and less these days as more governments fall under control of autocrats. Nationalists, racists, xenophobes, and ideologues are gaining power in country after country. Italy is an important case in point. Just this week, a formerly fringe neo-fascist political party obtained a plurality in national elections. Giorgia Meloni is expected to be Italy's first far-right-wing prime minister since Benito Mussolini was driven from power in 1943.
She really sees her party as carrying the heritage of fascism into today.
That's Ruth Benghiat, professor of history and Italian studies at New York University, speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
Ignazio La Russa, who's a party elder, let's say, he said a few days ago, we are all heirs of the Duce.
Meloni's Brothers of Italy party joins an increasingly powerful far-right movement in Europe that includes Poland's ruling Law and Justice Party, Spain's Vox Party, France's National Rally led by Marine Le Pen, and the Sweden Democrats, with roots in that country's neo-Nazi movement, now poised to lead a new right-wing coalition government there. Prime Minister Viktor Orban in Hungary is the European right-wing's model strongman, suppressing the press and free speech, openly advocating racist, anti-immigrant policies, and criticizing European integration and the European Union. Orban, Meloni, and other European right-wing leaders are being embraced by the Republican Party in the United States and its would-be strongman Donald Trump. The U.S. Republican Party has been effectively purged of any Trump critics and is rapidly organizing in states across the U.S. to simply reject election results they don't like. Rather than storming the Capitol, as thousands of Trump supporters did on January 6, 2021, the GOP now has a plan to quietly seize power by suppressing the vote and declaring victory regardless of the outcome in November 2024. Corrupt, gerrymandered state legislatures and Trump-aligned governors and secretaries of state have already put this plan into motion as they seek to consolidate more power in the 2022 midterm elections, just over a month away. Trump has repeatedly labeled climate change a hoax. His European adherents aren't so blatant, but generally support expanded burning of fossil fuels, increased reliance on nuclear power, and a rejection of the United Nations climate negotiations. Those negotiations are dubbed COPs, for Conference of Parties, to the Kyoto Protocol. This year's conference in November, COP27, will be in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, where a broad coalition has appealed to the military dictatorship of Abdel Fattah al-Sisi to allow participation of civic and environmental groups and for the release of Egypt's many political prisoners. The UNFCCC, the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, often relies on dictatorships. Past hosts have included Qatar and Morocco, where genuine protest is effectively banned. Next year's COP will be in oil-rich Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. Let's not let the COPs be run by COPs. Climate activist Bill McKibben wrote last April, reflecting on climate activism in the wake of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, quote, "Part of the job for climate campaigners is to work for functioning democratic states where people's demands for a working future will be prioritized over vested interest, ideology, and personal fiefdoms," he said. In nations where protest is somewhat tolerated, like the United States, the stakes are high and time is short. NASA climate scientist Peter Kalmus understands this. He was arrested last April while protesting J.P. Morgan Chase's continued investments in fossil fuel projects.
I keep yelling at the top of my lungs. I'm risking arrest. I've been forced to become a climate activist.
That's Peter Kalmus speaking on Democracy Now!
I'm terrified of the inaction of world leaders who keep dancing around the real issue, right, which is we have to rapidly ramp down the fossil fuel industry. It's a bittersweet thing. We're finding exoplanets. We're doing these amazing missions like redirecting asteroids. And yet, with all that technology, with all that knowledge, somehow it's not translating into stopping what is clearly the biggest threat facing humanity, which is global heating.
Hurricanes and drought are now displacing millions, driving climate migration that increases anti-immigrant sentiment in Europe and the United States. This further empowers racist xenophobes like Trump and Maloney. Climate and democracy are under enormous threat. Our ability to weather this storm depends on concerted action by the global majority who care against increasingly difficult odds. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
This is the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Current Democratic Representative Paul Tonko from the 20th District votes with the positions of President Joe Biden 100% of the time, according to the 538.com website. Republican Elise Stefanik, currently representing the 21st District, votes with Biden's positions 19.3% of the time. Democrat Pat Ryan just began representing the 19th district and has yet to be included in the rankings.
The Daily Freeman reports that new congressperson Pat Ryan introduced his first bill in the House of Representatives after 9 days in office. Ryan, a Democrat, filling in the final weeks of Antonio Delgado's term in the 9th congressional district, introduced the Protecting Reproductive Freedom Act. The bill would allow access to abortion medication through telehealth, even in states that banned abortion, and would create a congressional report on other ways to expand access to reproductive health care. Ryan said in a press release, and I quote, "A woman's right to choose is one of this country's foundational freedoms, and there is no place for government interference in these private medical decisions. Yet extremist state lawmakers are restricting access to FDA-approved abortion medication and even threatening to open Americans' mail to stop the delivery of doctor-prescribed health care services. This legislation would ensure that women across the country can access this safe and effective medical treatment, end quote. Over half of all abortion care in the U.S. comes through medication, with the two-dose regimen of mifepristone or misoprostol approved for up to 10 weeks of pregnancy. This year, at least 20 states have proposed bills to restrict or ban access to those abortion pills, which were approved more than two decades ago by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, and other new bills would force women to get those medications from a doctor in person. Ryan beat Republican Mark Molinaro in a special election to fill the final weeks of Delgado's term, and many political observers said his support for abortion rights was a key part of that campaign. Now Ryan is running for the new 18th Congressional District against Republican Colin Schmidt in November, while Molinaro faces Democrat Josh Riley in the new 19th Congressional District. Schmidt did not respond to requests for comment. And you can read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. With the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade decision earlier this year, views on abortion have been center stage in every election in America since. And that continues this fall in the New York 19th Congressional District contest between Republican Mark Molinaro and Democrat Josh Riley. Molinaro lost a special election for the old version of the district in August to Democrat Pat Ryan, and many political observers wrote that the Democratic turnout was up in that race because of the abortion issue. Riley has been clear that he supports abortion rights, and his campaign website says, and I quote, "Women's health care decisions are women's health care decisions, not the government's," end quote. Molinaro's campaign website avoids the issue completely in the, and I quote, "policy," end quote, section. Molinaro has said he opposes most abortions after 17 weeks. At a September 1st town hall meeting with voters in Endicott and Broome County, Molinaro said, and I quote, "I don't want government in specific decision-making that women will have to make. But I also want to be respectful of the fact at some point there ought to be some limitation, except in the case of life of the mother, rape and incest," end quote. His 17-week limit is very close to the 15-week abortion ban that South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham recently proposed. Just after Molinaro lost to Ryan, he appeared on the right-wing Newsmax network, which has reported conspiracy theories that lets guests incorrectly state that the 2020 presidential election was, and I quote, "stolen," end quote, and he was asked about the abortion issue.
Rather than avoiding the topic, I think we have to talk honestly about what whether we are male or female candidates, what we believe and why we believe it, and connect with people on this issue. I do think that is an important lesson. You know, the world changed, and whether you were identified as pro-life or pro-choice, whether you agreed with the Supreme Court decision or not, having an honest conversation about it, about what we value in life and about life, I think is important for Republicans. I think that we have to connect with people and explain to them that we care deeply about this issue, and how now do we navigate the new landscape.
A video excerpt of Molinaro on Newsmax is available on the WGXC Newsroom webpage. WSKG reports that just about a month before voting begins, the candidates for the new 19th Congressional District still have not agreed to debate. Democrat Josh Riley agreed to debate with WSKG, a public television and radio station working with the League of Women Voters of Broome and Tioga counties, but Republican Mark Molinaro did not. Riley said on September 25th, and I quote, "I understood from yesterday that he had declined the WSKG debate, which I had accepted, so we'll have to see what other invitations we have," end quote. Molinaro says he has agreed to a debate hosted by Spectrum News and two candidate forums, not debates, one with Ulster County Chamber of Commerce and another with Greater Binghamton Chamber of Commerce. Even though he has agreed to only one debate and two candidate forums, Molinaro said on September 23rd, and I quote, "I'm guessing it's just scheduling issues, but three debates seems like a reasonable number to have across a district this size," end quote. Voting begins on October 29th and ends November 8th. And you can read the full story at the WSKG website. Patricia R. Doxing is reporting in the Daily Freeman that Democrat Pat Ryan and Republican Colin Schmidt outlined their differences on the abortion issue at an Ulster County Regional Chamber of Commerce Meet the Candidates breakfast September 27th. The two are competing for the new 18th congressional district seat in November. Ryan, the former Ulster County executive, was just elected to be the 19th congressional district congressperson for a few weeks, filling in after Antonio Delgado resigned to become lieutenant governor. Schmidt is a two-term Republican assemblyperson from Orange County. Ryan was dismayed about the Supreme Court overturning the Roe v. Wade decision earlier this year. Ryan said, and I quote, "I feel pretty strongly this goes squarely against who we are as a country, who we are as a nation," end quote. Then Schmidt said he is pro-life, so in favor of banning abortion, and then falsely claimed that Ryan would permit taxpayer-funded abortion up to the moment of birth and would prohibit parental notification laws. Instead, Ryan said he would reinstate the framework that Roe v. Wade created and call Schmidt's mischaracterization, and I quote, "kind of embarrassing, frankly," end quote. The full video of Schmidt and Ryan speaking at the event are on the WGXC Newsroom website. And you can read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that Republican congressional candidate Mark Molinaro is now opposing the United States sending military aid to Ukraine to fight off the invasion from Russia. Molinaro said, and I quote, "I believe that as a country, we have met our financial obligation to support Ukraine resistance," end quote. Russia invaded Ukraine in February without provocation and is accused of many human rights violations. Since the invasion, Finland and Sweden have moved to join the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, as fears of Russia invading other countries have spread. The United States sent Ukraine approximately $15.2 billion in military aid since President Joe Biden took office. Molinaro said, and I quote, "I think the president ought to marshal freedom-loving democratic societies around the world to more aggressively isolate, freeze, and make abundantly clear to Vladimir Putin that he is a criminal, is a tyrant, and America and democracies around the world do not accept his incursion, his invasion, or his continued military efforts in Ukraine," end quote. The Republican candidate for the 19th Congressional District did not say how he would do that. Molinaro is running against Democrat Josh Riley for the new 19th Congressional District, with voting beginning October 29th and ending November 8th. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that less than 3 weeks after being sworn in, Democrat Pat Ryan passed his first bill in the U.S. House of Representatives on September 29th. Ryan's bill would give access to VA home loans to those National Guard and Reserve forces conducting active duty for training or in training pipelines for specialized areas. The Expanding Home Loans for Guard and Reserves Act passed 296 to 127, a rare bipartisan vote, and now heads to the U.S. Senate. The Veterans Health Care Benefits Improvement Act of 2020 left out National Guard service members and reservists conducting active duty for training or entering into a longer training pipeline, and this bill would close that loophole. Ryan, who was elected in a special election for New York's 19th Congressional District after Democrat Antonio Delgado resigned to become lieutenant governor, said, and I quote, "There's some guardsmen and women who were and weren't eligible even though they were serving in the same battalion, in the same unit, in the same place. It shouldn't matter. This is really addressing that and righting that wrong," end quote. Ryan was sworn in September 13th and faces another election this fall, but he is running in the 18th Congressional District after the lines were redrawn. Ryan said, and I quote, "I feel tremendous pride. I'm able to help the veterans in something this important. This is really important, especially given the intersection of rising home prices and veterans' homelessness," end quote. You can read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
This has been the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Go to WGXC.org for more information.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, a chance of showers mainly after 11 a.m. It will be cloudy with a temperature high near 58 degrees. Saturday night, a chance of showers mainly before 11 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 47 degrees. And on Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 59 degrees. And Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 40 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
And here is your fall foliage forecast. We have 70% change expected for the next week in the hills around Hunter and Windham. Woodstock down on the ground is expecting a 25% change. And so is the Hudson and Copaic area. However, being out there personally, I could say Copaic is starting to turn and it might be even deeper than that. When you get back from checking out all those lovely leaves, the next thing to check out is your heating system. Sweaters aren't going to cut it forever. And with the way utility prices are expected to be this year, going after gaps, cracks, and anything else letting in drafts with caulk and paint and sealant is going to have a major financial impact. The sooner, the better.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Edelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC. Hands-on, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Next, we tune in the latest episode of the I Have Seen Niagara radio theater show from G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer. The show airs Saturday mornings on the WGXC Morning Show between 9 and 10 a.m. and every early Wednesday night just after midnight.
Let's take a detour to the Oracle Feedin' Seed on the corner of Packard and Porter, the only local Feedin' Seed that sells both good coffee and psychic advice, along with 50-pound bags of dog food and horse inseminator syringes. The only local business that contains the true oracular power of the falls themselves. When things seem murky and unclear, stop in and buy 6 dozen baby chicks in a box and ask the owners and proprietors, Agnes and Red Burbandonifon, about your future. Is that website you're working on going to be successful? Will you finally get that rare beanie baby from that jerk you continue to be friends with? Do the evil spirits that pursue you know how hot the real estate market is? Like, do they? It's so fucking crazy out there right now. Beyond the Western Door.
Shirts and grow more fat and eat 3 pounds of sausages at a go, or only bread and pickle for a week.
Good Lord. Like, I'm trying to find,
and hoard pens,
like,
and pencils and cameras and things and boxes.
I can't do it. I can't find them on the internet.
But now we must have clothes that keep us dry, a pair of wrench, and not swear in the street, and set a good example for the children. We must have friends to dinner and read the papers. But maybe I ought to practice a little now. So people who know me are not too shocked and surprised when suddenly I am old and start to wear purple.
No, I mean, as a intuitive, you can't really see my room, right? I'm really kind of impressed, I guess. It's like,
the question is obvious and the answer is a secret. Just like usual. How
you said turn into friends, so you can just actually be on a dating app looking for friends.
Other than that, everyone else is just like, yeah, I was wondering,
we have the website and everything. I was just wondering.
Yeah, I'm 33 years old. I'm the only people in groups, you know.
He loosens his belt and shoestrings.
Get that started.
Covers his face with his hands and begins to
talk. I've seen a lot of people
trying to do
so.
That doesn't mean that you can't be on dating up, meet people.
Fit out the ring.
I can see them getting all blown down. And now,
snatching up an axe. He begins striking himself about the knees with it, and
seemingly
in the direction of the three women. He drags burning logs out of the fire with his naked hands. He dashes 3 times around each of the women and finally collapses, like a dead man. During the whole time, no one has been permitted to touch him. While he repossesses now in trance, he is to be watched so closely that not even a fly may settle upon him.
Yeah,
his spirit has departed,
I mean,
and he is viewing the sacred mountains with their inhabiting gods. The women in attendance whisper to each other, trying to guess in what part of the yonder world he now may be. If they mention the correct mountain, the shaman stares either a hand or a foot.
I mean,
at length, he begins to return. In a low, weak voice, he utters the words he has heard in the world below.
It's like a fountain of crazy shock.
Then the women begin to sing. The shaman slowly awakes, declaring both the cause of the illness and the manner of sacrifice to be made.
Then he announces the length of time it will take for the patient to grow well.
When once thus securely provided with a warm house for the winter, the ichneum grows.
I don't know, I think it's
now nearly full grown. Proceeds to devour what remains of the unfortunate caterpillar spaces until occasionally November to December. With this final leap, the larvae reach their full size.
And I keep calling, but it seems like nobody's here. Everybody else is the same way.
The cavity of the polyphemus cocoon with their bones.
So call back, and that leaf keeps saying, call me back. I'm at least I'm working, whatever that means. They're too busy. Everybody is too busy.
And eventually make their exit through small holes in the outer cocoon.
I mean, I can tell you a billion things, but...
And fly abroad to the terror of future polyphemus cocoon.
I
don't
think everyone has the same talent.
Well, I'm 33, and I'm once again living in my parents' house. And I can see that they're getting old and slowing down. And they're asking me, when am I going to do this? When am I going to do that? You know, they're talking about their job.
I can literally see the women talking slowly and then lighten up and then
talk. Not saying you, I'm just saying the world will push it because everybody is not compassionate or empathy. And that lady is not very spiritual.
She passed away in 2007.
What then is our mom?
And it's like, stop leading me on, saying to call back.
But a rapacious robber fly.
And then when I call, when you finally have a chance to talk, they're not compassionate and they don't have empathy.
It hovers in the flowery haunts of
and they don't want to talk because they're liars.
Makes havoc among the unsuspecting small fry. Among the
which nature, for some reason, has wonderfully disguised as a makes havoc among the unsuspecting small fry, among the insects, or even among many nearly as large as itself.
But I felt so much
clutching them with its strong
when I got home, I knew what I wanted,
sucking,
even though I wanted blue. Everybody else is the same way.
Having been nicely calculated as a larder to carry him to his
call back, and that lady keeps saying, call me back. Whatever that means. They're too busy. Everybody's too busy.
Spider nest. While the cavity is now filled with a filmy brown cocoon, containing perhaps a plump white larva, perhaps a pupa, or maybe a steel-blue, slender-waisted wasp. Just making its exit, and fully prepared to tell you all about spiders, if you will only listen to his hum with proper understanding. So then, our dead spiders are not dead after all. A very little provocation in the way of a rude touch or jostle of any one of them will cause a perceptible tremor of the legs, even after weeks confinement within this sealed blood chamber. To ensure a supply of fresh living food for its young until the completion of its growth.
Wasting time or not waste. This is back in 2007 I'm talking about, when I was working and in my spare time I was
for my baby. And I want to almost get confront him about the whole thing.
Because I don't look on the internet to find, you know, that you can just go right to the internet. You can look, you know what beanie babies are? I'm aware.
Take a deep breath. Go into the
sky. I can literally see the room darken slightly and then lighten up and then darken slightly. Very strange, but I can feel shivers running up and down my body.
You gotta try something.
You got a job at the radio station?
Oh, great, that place. It's dark and dirty and has, like, what, those three weirdos who work there?
Every day the satellite seems to be the door of someone's reach. Every day the satellite seems a little further on the beach. Satellites and stags, I'm growing Betsy in a bag, and she don't mind as long as things are round. Every day the satellite, jerky little canister of gold. Who's to be the satellite with inches of hole? Betsy growing coal. I'm into you so far, I'm out the other side, and orbiting is just a waste of time. Next time I get into you, I swear to God I won't come out again. Swear to God I won't come out again. Satellites and stags, I'm growing Betsy in a bag, and she don't mind as long as things are round. Every day the satellite seems a little further out of reach. Thank you.
headlights gone up to the skies. Things like that drive me out of my mind. I watched it for a little while. I like to watch things on TV. Satellite of love, satellite of love, satellite of love, satellite of love. Satellite's gone way up to Mars. Soon it'll be filled with park and cars. Watched it for a little while. I love to watch things on TV. With Harry, Mark, and John. Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday through Thursday, with Harry, Mark, and John. Satellite's gone up to the skies. Things like that drive me out of my mind. I watched it for a little while. I love to watch things on TV. Satellite of love, satellite of love, satellite of love, satellite of love. Satellite.